Good morning, I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of the Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle continue to practice social distancing and limit our gathering for our safety and our community's safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. Today's scripture reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Joy and peace are often elusive, are they not? Loneliness, family tensions, unexpected crisis, grief, and national and worldwide events make them seem just beyond our grasp often. The COVID-19 pandemic brushed away any sense of normalcy that 2020 had any potential of providing. Social distancing, quarantines, unemployment, fear are just some of the things that we are dealing with. And add to that the fact that 2020 has been a year filled with crazy headlines and shocking news. We've also lost beloved people, and we've seen unrest and violence throughout the country. The wildfires have raged out west. We are divided and angry about politics in ways that are pretty scary. The 24-hour news channels offer us people with differing views who scream and talk over one another. Conspiracy theories abound. And on a personal level, we are afraid of catching the virus, the unknowns, the aftermaths of the virus. We can't get physically close to one another right now. For the past 7 months, we can't shake hands. We can't see the full expressions on faces due to face masks, and there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. Sometimes it's difficult to tell how that other person is reacting to us, if they are smiling or frowning or sad. This all seems completely insane. Some people are asking, are we doomed? And it might seem like it at times. But this morning we come across the scripture reading from Philippians. And we wonder how Paul can call us to rejoice in the face of such madness. How can God expect those who struggle with mental and physical illness as well as other problems to rejoice? How can we rejoice in times of 2020. The theologian Karl Barth once called joy a continually defiant nevertheless, which suggests that the kind of joy which Paul is talking about isn't based on circumstances. When Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was living in a Roman prison. He was to appear in court soon to face the charges against him, and the verdict could lead to his execution. The church he was writing to was undergoing a lot of persecution and having all kinds of problems. So Paul, from prison, wrote a letter of encouragement to them. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice," Paul writes. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Peace, true peace, that can rejoice even in a Roman jail cell as one awaits the possibility of execution. What would we pay for something like this? A peace that transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and minds, even amidst the greatest torment, the worst that the world seems to throw at us. How much is that worth? $1 million? $1 billion? $1 trillion? It can't be bought. It is, in the truest sense, priceless. Jesus himself compared this peace and joy to a treasure that somebody hid in a field, which someone else found and covered it up. And then, full of joy, the finder sold everything and bought that field. Or again, Jesus said it's like a merchant in search of a fine pearl. And when he found one very precious pearl, he went and sold all that he owned and he bought it. Is it worth everything we have? I think so. One day, a rich young man came to Jesus in search of this peace. He asked Jesus what he must do to receive it, and Jesus' answer was to sell everything that he owned and distribute the money to the poor. "Then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." But when that rich young man heard these words, he became very sad because he was extremely rich, and so he left. Sad, but rich. The man was unwilling to part with his things because of the grip they had upon him. What has its grip upon you? Does your faith have a grip upon you? Or is there something else that's holding you down, keeping you from the peace which transcends all understanding? It's really important to remember that Philippians wasn't written to or by persons living on Easy Street. It was written by a man who had been stripped of everything in this world that we human beings naturally want and need. And it was written to a handful of people defending a new faith against a hostile ruling class. But the promise of this scripture is the same in all times. That when we are finally stripped of everything, there comes to us from God a life that has joy, and it carries with it a satisfaction and a peace that are out of this world. Because the peace that this world talks about is deliverance from problems, but the peace that God talks about comes from losing all of these worldly things in the love for God and others. Have you experienced this peace? Do you have this peace? Or is a preoccupation with yourself keeping you from experiencing the kingdom of God, that joy, that peace that persists nevertheless, anything else happening. Paul was at peace. He had no idea what he would be facing tomorrow, but he knew that he would not be facing it alone. He knew that his life was good as long as he was walking with Jesus, because Jesus was walking with him. Notice how Paul reminds us that whether we are glad or troubled, the Lord is near. And whether we live in freedom or some kind of captivity, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. A joy, a peace that persists nevertheless. Whether our health is solid or shaky, God's adopted children can rejoice because the Lord is near. A joy, a peace that persists nevertheless. Whether our finances are booming or busting, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. A joy and peace that persists nevertheless. Whether we feel alone or swamped by people, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. It's a joy, a peace that persists nevertheless, because God is always with us. Whether we have to swim through troubled waters or walk in pleasant places, God stays with us. Whether we are climbing mountains or in the valleys, God stays with us. A world produces anxiety. There is no doubt about that. It seems that at every corner, there is some new fear to haunt our dreams and burden our days. But Paul's words offer sweet, sweet relief. A man was in a bed in the cardiac ICU in a hospital, and he had just undergone radical and experimental surgery designed to save his life. And as he lay in that ICU bed, he was in crisis. There were serious post-surgical complications, and that night he laid awake, afraid that his life was about to end, and he was reflecting on what it had and had not been. He was thinking about all of the things he had gotten through any means he could, and all the things he had lost, all the pain he had suffered and all the pain he had inflicted on others. And he laid there asking himself, what has been the one thing in my life I had always sought after but could never find? And the answer was easy. The one thing he had never been able to find was peace. The next morning, the hospital chaplain came into his room, making his rounds from patient to patient, and he only stayed for a few minutes. And before he left, he said, let me read a brief passage from the Bible to you, and then we can say a prayer. The chaplain opened his Bible and read Jesus' words to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. And the man said that the words struck me like a spiritual hammer. That chaplain did not know me. He didn't know my story. He didn't know what I had wrestled with all night long. But there is no way his visit could have been a mere coincidence. Without even knowing that he did so, he showed me how to find what I had needed and could not find my entire life. And I suddenly got it, that if I could have Jesus, if I could really get to know him, I would find peace. And that, he said, turned out to be the case for me. When we think about today's scripture and we learn that joy and that peace that is experienced when we do not know the next steps and when we have been stripped of anything, when we know this joy and peace that persists nevertheless, Paul tells us that we know it because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, because God and Jesus are always with us. And by relying on that idea, we will find peace that isn't about what's going on around us. Just as you can be lonely in a crowd of people, you can feel anxious and afraid in the safest of places. You can also have a sense of calm, no matter how fierce the storms or frightening the situation. It's not surroundings that make us secure. It's not the money. It's not material stuff. It's the sure and certain knowledge that whatever might happen, God will never let us go. And that is the peace which transcends all understanding. It is the peace that persists, nevertheless. Even as the world swirls in turmoil, our personal lives are unknown. The next steps are scary. We can have peace. As COVID-19 causes us to change the way we have always done things, just about everything, we can have peace. As haters continue to hate, the storms can still be calm. We can experience the peace and joy because of Jesus. You see, we can't buy peace and joy. It's not going to come about through an election or even a vaccine. It is a peace and joy that is indeed priceless, whether those things exist or not. It's a peace and joy that's not even on the market or up for sale because it's already been bought and paid for. God is peace. And there is more than enough to go around. Whether you want to accept it or not, that love exists. And we can be an arm for that love and that peace. We can offer the peace and joy to people who need it the most, even those who we feel don't deserve it. Because God's love and peace and joy is handed out freely to anyone and everyone. From the members of the Namekagon UCC in Earle, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope that you will consider joining us. The United Church of Christ, a just world for all.